When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, and we're back here on Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. We certainly appreciate you stopping by here as we've got plenty going on across the sports betting landscape here this hour. Major League Baseball underway. I can't believe the Yankees blew it. Then they came back. Then they blew it. Then they won it again. So Yankees in overtime finished off Arizona. Not without a sweat, though. 6-5 was the final there. We are getting ready for the first pitch coming across the board here in a couple of these 7 o'clock hour games. We'll keep you posted on that. NHL puck is going to drop shortly, not to mention the NBA. But we not forget there's also a little unfinished business, I think, in college basketball coming up here, if I'm not mistaken. And I can't think of anybody better to talk Final Four action with than our good friend Chris Thurston, CT Betts in the house here. Across the board here, CT, Final Four. I cannot believe we're at that point, but we're at that point here, my man. I can't remember a Final Four in which both favorites were, much less one favorite, but now both favorites just about double digits in a very chalky situation here. And quite honestly, I hope it does chalky because I want to see Purdue-UConn. Is that wrong?
No, Joe, you're not wrong at all. And before we dive into it, Joe, I just wanted to give you a little round of applause because I remember you telling me before this tournament started, and you said it on this show numerous times, that you thought this tournament was going to be very chalky and you did not anticipate a lot of upsets. And man, you couldn't have been more correct on that. It has been so chalky. And what we really have only seen, Oakland beat Kentucky in the first round. NC State, what a wonderful Cinderella run they've had. And then Clemson, really, who was pretty good all year long. They had some nice signature wins. So I wouldn't even consider that, you know, that big of a upset that they made it that far. But just wanted to tip the cap to you on that one, partner.
A lot of parity, man. I mean, we saw it all year long, and there was only a handful of teams that we thought would be a cut above, and UConn was always in that conversation. So was Purdue, for that matter. Everybody else, it was just like, eh. But how are you going to approach this here? Because it's a big number. I mean, 11, 11 and a half, might be even 12 for UConn, 9, 9 and a half for Purdue. It's interesting here. I still think it's going to get even chalkier before it's all said and done.
I agree with you, Joe. And I first want to say, Nate Oates, man, he did a spectacular job in the postseason with this Bama team. Joe, like, I wrote them off. I'm like, there's no way they're making it out of the first weekend. So I couldn't have been more wrong on Bama in postseason this year. They have a top five offense. That's no secret. They play at one of the fastest paces in the nation. And they launch a million threes, right? And, you know, they hit them at a pretty high clip. As much as Oates, he's worked on the defense, right? And they've been a lot better. But it's still a nightmare. And the right team can expose this D badly. And now, you know, UConn, they could be the first team to go back-to-back since the Gators did in 06 and 07. I think they have the best coach in the nation, Joe. And we're seeing that more and more as the tournament goes on. Let's see. They lost three starters from last year, lost five of their top eight scorers, only picked up one kid in the portal who's an absolute stud, and came back better. I mean, they have the best starting five in the nation with two lottery picks, the freshman Castle, the big man Klingon. Then they fill it out with the veteran weapons, Newton, Spencer, and Caravan. Yep. They're allowing less than 54 points per game thanks to Klingon. Teams cannot score. Hurley is so tough, Joe, and I love how he preaches. He's like, we're going to guard, we're going to defend, we're going to stand tall, and we're going to take away your first option, and we're going to screw you all up. I'm well aware how many points Bama has been putting up and how capable, you know, they are to score the ball. You know, they were 16 of 35 or 36 from deep versus Clemson. They started 1 for 11 from deep, and Clemson had a 12-point lead, and when Bama couldn't hit a shot. Here's the difference, Joe, between Clemson being up 12 versus Bama when Clemson goes into a drought, and when UConn goes up double digits on Bama this Saturday when Bama goes cold. Because trust me, Bama is going to go cold at some point in this game on Saturday night. UConn will step on your throat when you go cold, and they will get on top of you, and they won't let you up, and they won't let you back in the game. This team doesn't even begin to somewhat smile until they're up 20. Bama's going to have to shoot the absolute lights out and get a bad game out of UConn to have a remote shot at this one. Bad news for Bama is that Newton and Castle defend extremely well. So good luck getting those wide open threes that they're used to. Joe, the massacre tour continues for Hurley. UConn by 15 plus here.
I'm so with you here. And I can't remember a team to go 3 of 17 from three and win by 25 against an elite, one of the most elite offenses in the country in Illinois, and they still held 52 points and only shot 3 of 17 from three. So I'm kind of with you. Now, when it's all said and done, UConn wins. Is it Purdue? Is it NC State? Who's playing for a championship here?
Yeah, everybody's going to get to see what they want to see, right? They want to see the two best big men in the country play each other, and we're going to see that. NC State, pretty much like we talked about, the only Cinderella, and they just keep shocking the world. A lot of people forget, Joe, that they needed to bang a three at the bell in the ACC semifinals versus Virginia to force OT and win. That's not either here or there, right? They've been playing great ball for 3 weeks, and they're a difficult team to play against. DJ Burns, he's an absolute load. He throws his weight around down near the rim. Horn, he's a natural scorer. Deira, he gets down and dirty, right? Matt Painter finally gets the monkey off his back. He's made his first ever Final Four just a year after getting knocked off by FDU, who was a 16 seed. They've redeemed themselves. This is his best team he's had yet. The 7'4", Zach Edey, all kinds of snipers around them. I can't take away anything from NC State, but they have a major disadvantage here on the interior. Burns has been great, but even if you look at that Purdue-Tennessee game, the guards didn't shoot it very well. I think they were 3 for 15. It didn't matter. Edie download is a big problem here. Everybody's on NC State. NC State's a public dog here. Purdue's going to take it to them. I'm on both.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
The favorites here this weekend, Joe.
It's the only way. Don't overthink this. That would be my biggest advice here, folks. Chris is telling you. Don't overthink. Now's not the time to get cute. Now is the time to pick the best teams, because that's who's going to play for a national championship. CT, we appreciate it, my man. Enjoy the game. Hopefully we get exactly what we want here. It'll be better for college hoops. Game time decisions. We'll be back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in here. Game time decisions on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri. We certainly appreciate you hanging with us here on this Wednesday now, April the 3rd. And we were just trying to go over it there. Our good friend Chris Thurston, CT Betts, dropping a FanDuel bet there about an exact outcome here with the Final Four. I didn't anticipate that we would have any sort of plus money involved here when it came to UConn winning the national championship here. And there you got it. UConn to beat Purdue at FanDuel plus 100. So that's an even money bet involved with a team that is, mind you, laying 12 points in this game. And if it ends up them and Purdue, they're still going to be a 5.5-point favorite. So the odds of getting anything at plus money or even money, I didn't think it existed, but kudos to FanDuel for having that exact outcome out there. That is a fantastic bet there and a fantastic number, because we all know in our heart of hearts, it's going to be UConn and Purdue. And I know a guy who's on the same page with that is Mark Zinno stepping in here for us on Game Time Decisions. I mean, Zin, we just had CT Betts on. Did you even think there would be anything at plus, even money or plus money involving a UConn national championship? It's kind of mind-blowing right now.
Yeah, I mean, look, if someone's offering that, it's almost like one of those quirky little profit boosts that books are doing around some sort of non-betting celebrity. Hi, my name is so-and-so, and I have X, Y, and Z, and here's a profit.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, the idea you'd get even money for UConn to win this thing this year is a bet that you absolutely have to take.
immediately, if not sooner. Listen, I didn't want to say anything because I didn't want to jinx them. But the Yankees were doing very well. They went to extra innings, 4-2. I'm thinking the game is going to be closed. And then we're watching errors, 7 infielders. Next thing you know, they give up they let them tie it next. They did go on to win it, though, which is, I give the Yankees credit here. So here they are sitting at 6-1. We've got the Pirates already up in front at 2-1 now over the Nationals in the second. I got to admit, I didn't see the Yankees at 6-1 at this point, and I certainly didn't see the Pirates at 5-0, about to be maybe 6-0. Just didn't see this start for either of those two teams.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, just a quick subtle reminder here about betting unders in Major League Baseball. Imagine having the under in the Yankees-D-backs game 2-2 headed to the ninth.
Oh, and then man. Ending up in
extra innings, them scoring six runs, and your under just being lit up in flames. Oh. I mean, that's always going to be the struggle and the concern when it comes to betting an under in baseball nowadays with the ghost runner and everything else. It changes the game dynamically. So just a reminder to that as we head into baseball season, remember that when you bet an under. Now, that said, look, the Yankees, I still think some of it's a little bit of smoke and mirrors here. I mean, they got a decent start from Carlos Rodon today, but he had guys on. He wasn't exactly like he was pumping through a lot of these innings. He got some double play balls and things of that nature. Let's see how that begins to unfold for the rest of the year. I mean, the Yankees look have done it with timely hitting. Verdugo finally showed up and put on a Yankee uniform for the first time in seven games and hit a ball about 450 feet. I mean, he crushed that ball on the first pitch he saw in extra innings. Look, if he gets going and you know, Anthony Rizzo remembers how to hit a baseball and Giancarlo Stanton remembers how to hit a baseball and Aaron Judge had hit his first home run of the year, they have bats up and down the lineup. I mean, again, I've said it religiously. You can mash your way through 162 games of Major League Baseball and find yourself in the postseason. That doesn't mean that you're going to win a World Series. It just means that you could mash your way through and score a ton of runs. I mean, look who has 39 runs on the season coming into their sixth game. Oh, yeah, that is the Pittsburgh Pirates, which is only behind the Dodgers and Padres and D-backs coming into this as far as the National League is concerned. And the 39 would be the second most in the American League, who, oh, by the way, leading the American League are the Cleveland freaking Guardians with 46 runs. I mean, who had that at the beginning of the season? So, look, you know, some of this stuff is going to normalize, which is why, you know, I've been very tempered in betting. I've only made two Major League Baseball bets here in the first week, cashed them both. I have one more tonight coming, and, you know, I'm trying to find certain spots. And, you know, I've had this discussion with a couple of people in the industry about situations that look like already we're trying to see, and I almost got caught with it earlier about, you know, playing the Astros after they lost the first three in game four. Oh, they're not going to get – it's really hard to sweep teams in Major League Baseball. Situations are great, but starting pitching for me will override situations. Don't take bad teams with bad lineups situationally if they have a bad starter on the round, especially versus a good starter. I mean, you know, after a year last year, I kind of got butchered going through the beginning of the Major League Baseball season. I never really caught up to get, you know, back into plus money over the entire season. You know, there were stretches of it, but I've just been a lot more measured in the way I'm approaching games, in the way I'm approaching situations, because the starting pitching obviously is going to dictate how the game is going to go more often than not.
Yeah, it's baseball is the biggest grind. We say it all the time here. It's not something you can do every 2 weeks, go away, come back and be like, oh, let me jump on the Padres. Like, no. The starting pitching, the bullpens all come into play here, which is why I love the first five early in the season, because I don't have to worry about bullpens figuring it out. I can do that in July. In the first half of the season, to me, like tonight's game, for instance, with the rubber match with Bassett and Javier for Houston, I want nothing to do with Houston's bullpen. Quite honestly, I don't want anything to do with Toronto's bullpen either. So how do you approach this game here tonight coming up top of next hour?
Well, for me, again, I'll cut this game in half because, as you mentioned, Houston's bullpen has been a wreck to start this season. One of the worst in baseball, 7.41 ERA, 1.9 whip. They've given up six home runs. They've walked 12 batters, and they've only played six games. Mm. So, you know, that's a bad sign for your bullpen to get off to the start of the season. However, what I will do here is fade Chris Bassett, who is a dynamically different pitcher last year on the road than he was at home, Joe. Just look at some of the splits. His ERA at home last year was 1.96. His ERA on the road, 4.5. His whip jumps from 0.99 to 1.4 on the road. And his OBA, his opposing batting average against, almost up 80 points, 196 to 277. Oof. Bassett's first start of the year gave up five runs in the first five innings, four of them earned, and ended up taking the loss there. Now, Christian Javier is going for the Astros, and he was a little bit, you know, last year, dicey. You know, he gave up a lot of runs and didn't exactly pitch well, but he was with a lineup that scored a lot, so his win total looked a lot better. But, you know, he had a good first start of the year against the Yankees, went six innings, gave up zero runs. And, oh, by the way, the Astros blew that game and lost 7-1. But he only gave up four hits and a no decision. So, you know, I'll trust that Javier is going to be equally as good as home. I know it's too early to hit the panic button, but at 1-5, Houston feels like they're a little bit more desperate for a win at this point. Don't want to start your first seven-game homestand at 1-6. So I expect them, both teams, the day off tomorrow, They'll be able to, if they need to, you know, go to the bullpen a little bit early, which again doesn't exactly bode well for the Astros. But if for whatever reason Javier, you know, it's 4-3 in the fourth inning here, and they don't want to give up a run, they may just go get a fresh arm. But I think that the Astros here in the first five is the way to go. Took them on the run line minus a half at basically even money.
Yeah, no, I agree with you here. I think they at home. They're going to look to get off this night. Plus, the bats just aren't what I thought they would be again with Toronto here. But we'll see if Bichette can get back in that lineup and give them a little bit of a boost here. NBA action tonight. Don't you dare tell me you're going gross here with us in the NBA. Don't tell me.
I mean, of course.
Oh, we're going gross.
At this point, this is gross. Again. But, Joe, like, I have to go to alternate markets. Like, you just – you know,
yes.
Look, there's not an objective world where I want to bet on the Atlanta Hawks, who have been a terrible cover team at home, and ask them to lay 11 points. Like, it just doesn't seem like it's actually, you know, they just don't have the offense anymore without Trae Young, and things are completely different. So I'm going to take Detroit here over 105.5 for their team total. This is a Detroit team that averages 110 points a game. This is a bottom five defense with the Hawks. It gives up 120 points per game at home. Hopefully the Pistons have enough here to get over 105.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
So now I'm going to be sick, so we're going to have to take a quick break after hearing that best bet. We'll be back with more from Mark Zeno here on Game Time Decisions after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in here. Game Time Decisions on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri, joined by our good friend Mark Zeno here as... we get ready for a full slate of some absolutely disgusting NBA games here tonight. And Mark was nice enough to lay out an absolutely atrocious appetizer that involved betting something with the Detroit Pistons. It doesn't get much worse than that. But before we run down the rest of the lineup here tonight here and talk about some of these other games, I wanted to get your opinion on this. I was on the early line today, me and Donnie Wrightside. In fact, you joined us, and as soon as you had hung up, the right towards the end of the show, we had heard the Buffalo Bills were making a trade, and the trade involved one Stephon Diggs for like a bucket of peanuts and a couple of water bottles or something. It basically amounted to nothing. A lot of people seem very shocked with this. I wasn't. I thought the writing had been on the wall for a while here with him. This is a team that's window of opportunity with Josh Allen. We'll still be around for a little while, but it's obvious it ain't working. Like, you can't have that many Tampa tantrums on the sideline. I don't care how good you think you are. It's the quarterback that makes the receiver. It's not the other way around, and that's especially true in Buffalo. Were you shocked when this news broke here today that Buffalo shipped them off to Houston?
I wasn't shocked. I was surprised they didn't get a bigger and more current haul. I mean, look, you know, I think One, Josh Allen had to co-sign off all this. There was absolutely a conversation had with him saying, look, are you okay with us doing this?
He's playing dumb.
Yeah. I mean, you got to remember, the Bills are also in cap hell at this point in time, so there was a certain necessity of this move to happen. That said, they're still eating like $30 million in dead cap money and only got a second-round pick, not this year, next year. That ought to tell you how badly that they kind of wanted him out of the building at this point in time. And I think a lot of that, of him being there last year, was driven more from a monetary cap situation standpoint than necessarily a, hey, we need this guy to help us win. The Bills' window to win is always going to be open as long as Josh Allen is under center. I don't think anybody should debate that at this point in time. Now, whether that means win a Super Bowl is a different conversation, but you're always going to be a playoff team with Josh Allen. And so for the Bills to make this move, it tells you that they wanted to move on from him. It was time. They needed a little more cap relief. And they just felt like at the end of the day that him being out of the building, especially within the same conference, no less, and a team that you might have to see in the postseason at some point in time, a team that you actually lost to in the postseason a couple of years ago in a game they never should have lost, bad refereeing, that thing should have been a fumble on the kickoff, but we won't talk about that anyway because I had the Bills plus 3.5. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, I just think it's one of those things where this is a better situation of parting of the ways of these two guys. I think the Bills, with 11 draft picks this year, have plenty of room to maneuver and get into a wide receiver deep draft and find some other players here for them. Like you said, as long as Allen's there, the wide receiver room is going to be fine. And plus, this is an offense, you know, that now has a running game. They've got two viable tight ends. I mean, I get the fact that the receivers aren't there, but for the most part, I think, you know, we're going to be okay. Josh Allen can elevate enough around this. But it is interesting to see that the Bills made the move at this point in time, this late in the game. It didn't happen before free agency. It didn't happen, you know, when things might maybe had a little bit more value. Because had you traded him before free agency, there might have been more people calling, right? There might have been more people saying, okay, I'll take that known contract and everything else and move on from there. So the timing of this was a little bit peculiar, to say the least. And maybe it's actually a post-June 1st move when we find out it's all said and done and executed to at least alleviate the cap hit and be able to spread it out a little bit more. So more of this to come. But, yeah, I agree, Joe. This is a surprising move but not shocking. The writing was on the wall that these two were never really going to coexist much longer.
Given the what his contract was, the idea that they even got a second round is kind of interesting here. I mean, $31 million, you had mentioned it, in dead cap this year. But they are going to, they got to move on. And that's the bottom line, because how many more temper tantrums and cryptic tweets are we going to have to see from him to realize, yeah, this good is luck, probably not working out well.
Good
yeah,
luck, CJ.
Enjoy. You can go blow up that locker room over there. That'll be great. All right. So let's talk.
It's like a TO in a sense, where the production on the field is enough to tolerate all the locker room crap that people are dealing with.
Because it feels that way. But it's not. I mean, I think T.O., it's a great question. But also, even T.O. would have been smart enough to realize, I got to hitch my wagon to this dude. Like, I'd much rather have Josh Allen throwing the ball to me than some of the. The problem with T.O. is that he always had absolutely no. What was the 49er old quarterback there?
That was. Jeff Garcia.
Yes, Jeff Garcia. T.O. Might have been a bit of a head case, but if he would have had Josh Allen throwing the ball, he wasn't going anywhere. But that's not what you had here with Diggs. So best of luck there, Diggs. We'll see how that works out for you. In the meantime, two games in the NBA here, 26-24, Lakers on top of the Wizards, 28-21. Portland on top of Charlotte here. What was the other game coming up here tonight? I do think the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Celtics was interesting.
Well, I mean, look, this line opened up at 8 and it was hanging out there. I thought it was big. I guess we got confirmation that SGA is not playing because this line is at 12 now. And
neither is Jalen Williams.
Yeah, that to me feels like way too big of a way too big of a number.
Yep.
For me to lay with Boston. Again, a lot of these games are becoming highly unbettable. You're paying such premiums for favorites across the board. I don't think there's a world where I would lay 17 tonight with Minnesota or 12 with Boston or 12.5 with Milwaukee. I mean, you know, these numbers are outrageous. And in the same respect, it's like Portland and Charlotte. Hey, it's a 1.5-point spread. That's a number I can, but it's Portland and Charlotte. So what the hell are you going to get from either one of those guys? So it is interesting. Orlando is getting 4.5 here for a team that seems to be like a darling from a cover standpoint. Odds makers continue to price them as a favorite. The fact that they're an underdog on the road tonight is a little bit peculiar to me with a very low total. You know, looking at this, I would have probably had this a 1.5, 2-point spread in favor of New Orleans. But they're inflating New Orleans a little bit here, and maybe it's time for Orlando to drop one. That line tells me a little bit that probably New Orleans might be the right side.
Yeah, it's such a unique time of year, but the overreactions are crazy too. I mean, listen, let's not forget last night Milwaukee was laying a ridiculous number against the Wizards and lost outright. Now they're home, and I don't know about you, but I think that, I mean, kudos to Milwaukee, the ownership, for seeing the writing on the wall and firing that Griffin coach there, bringing in, I mean, Doc Rivers has been, no? Okay. So they're laying 12.5, and I've got no Lillard. I've got absolutely, I got no Lillard, right? I got no Patrick Beverly, and I got no Chris Middleton. And, I mean, how much are they going to lay out the Bucks to beat Memphis here?
Smells like an under to me. I mean, listen, Memphis is still
a
top 10 defensive efficiency team in the NBA. They play defense. Yep. They don't score. So they're not going to score. But at 218, is that the number that's still available at 217.5? Yes. I mean, seeing at a lot of shops.
Yep.
I know that total's come down from 223, so you missed the best of the number. But, you know, in the NBA, sometimes it's not about the best number. It's just about the best, you know, the best matchup here. And I don't – the 5 points doesn't really scare me because – on the off chance this thing lands in that 5-point window, and it could because it's a big gap, right? I mean, it could land at 220, somewhere, you know, 112.98 kind of deal, whatever it may be. But still, you know, I look at this and go, if this thing's going to stay under, it's going to stay way under. You're talking about, you know, a 105.95 kind of game.
I agree. And I thought the Miles Turner was ruled out for Indy. And I immediately thought that number was too low to begin with at 230 for a total. It's now up to 233.5 with him not being there. And he's a pretty big, important part to the defense on that side. And he's not there. So I agree with the over in this one with Brooklyn, who is just going to bomb away. They'll play right into the strength of Indy. Indy will run with them all day long here. So I don't really see that being a 105-100 game either.
No, I mean, here's the thing, you know, with that seven, it's just, God, you know, Indiana's a team like on the road to lay more than two possessions to me feels like it's just too much. But Brooklyn is, you know, mathematically, they're still alive, Joe, right? Like they still have a chance to grab the 10 seed. I think one or two more losses would put them out. So the motivation theoretically should be there for Brooklyn. But, you know, I mean, this is a team right now that I have a hard time trusting. But I would lean Brooklyn here. I don't want to lay seven with Indiana, especially given their defense hasn't been great. And this is a team that I find it hard to back as this big of a favorite. You want to give me 3 or 4 points, we're in a world I could talk about. But when it comes to more than two possessions, I'm going to get a little bit nervous and hesitant on Indiana.
Yes, especially without Turner in the lineup for the Pacers here. Speaking of not being able to lay a number, we're laying six with Phoenix against a healthy Cleveland squad, who, by the way, Donovan Mitchell in. Grayson Allen is still questionable for Phoenix. I am not betting Phoenix without Grayson Allen. I'm sorry. I'm not laying six, which is exactly what they're asking us to do here.
I mean, it's weird. Cavaliers run a back-to-back last night. They rested Donovan Mitchell against Utah, won the game. So the anticipation is that he would play tonight. You have the Suns in that unfavorable spot of coming off a long road trip and playing their first game at home, laying a number here that, you know, the six, if you get the 6.5, and again, we get that extra possession, it makes me feel like Cleveland's the right side. And the Suns have covered 5 of the last 7, while Cleveland failed to cover 6 of their last 8. Cleveland is 6-6 on back-to-backs against the number this year. So kind of a coin flip spot here for the Cavaliers.
And they're also on a crazy over run right now too, which I kind of thought that 226 was a good number there. Worthwhile. I don't expect a whole lot of defense here. Mark Zeno, appreciate for the disgusting Detroit Pistons play. Best of luck with those. And of course, we'll be back with Game Time Decisions. Thanks.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in here, Game Time Decisions on the Sports Grid Network. You asked for more discussing this, and we'll deliver as our good friend Mark Zinno will hang around here for another segment as we get ready, of course, to get him going in. Don't pay any attention. That's not Scott Wetzel. He hasn't been working out. But we'll get him back. We'll get the right name for you. You'll be good to go here. He definitely hasn't been working out there. But let me ask you this here, as we're seeing Washington on top of Pittsburgh and Mitch Keller, which is a pleasant sight, because I did fade Pittsburgh here today. It's 4-2 in that one. And we were just talking off air here. Regensburg, Corbin Burns already out of the game, down 2-0 against Kansas City here. You almost pulled the trigger on Baltimore, you said, in this spot here. But there's something about this Kansas City youth movement. They spent money to lock up Witt, not something you usually see with these small market teams rolling out the checkbook to keep a superstar. And that's what that kid is. And you got to love the Kansas City Royals. People forget, Mark, wasn't it? I mean, it was a decade ago, but you know, the Royals for a stretch there were a pretty damn good team competing for a World Series title. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. They have as many World Series in the last decade as the Dodgers and Braves do. Who would have said that, right? I mean, those two rosters compared to the Royals. So make that what you will. You know, I mean, look, and we talked about this morning on the early line. Like, Bobby Witt, I think, is a very viable future for an MVP. It hurts him that he's going to play in Kansas City because, look, if they finish in third place, even if they win, you know, 85, 86 games, they don't make the playoffs and everything else, he's going to be overlooked for teams that do make the playoffs because voters are idiots, right? Like, you know, people who vote for these things take into things into account that don't matter. It's not about what your team does. It's an individual award. Did you play the best? Were you the best player? And Bobby Witt has every chance to put up MVP-type numbers this year. So I think it's viable. But you know, when I looked into this start tonight, I mean, the Orioles last year at home were very, very good and scored a lot of runs. They weren't that good against lefties at home. And, you know, some of that has become because they changed the dimensions in the ballpark, right? They made that left field wall that righties would hit off lefties much deeper. And so it's changed the dimension a little bit. So the Orioles struggled with lefties. And then I looked a little bit deeper into Cole Reagans, and I'm like, oh. At first, I'm like, who the hell is Cole Reagans? And then I started to go, I'm like, oh, he's actually pretty good. He's actually pitched like,
yeah.
Oh, it's good on the road too. Oh, okay. Cole Reagans is good. So I'm going to walk away from this one, even though it is Corbin Burns on the mound. And look, Corbin Burns only gave up two runs, but Cole Reagans has only given up one hit. So through six innings, last time I checked, that's pretty good. So the Yankees could use a guy like that. Maybe they can get Cole Reagans at some point in time from the Royals. Might help them. But yeah, I mean, look, this Royals team is going to be young. They're going to be exciting. I think they are a viable team that could win the AL Central. If they do, again, you're gonna remember this date back here on April 3rd saying, hey, Zinner was right, and we should have taken Bobby Witt in the MVP futures market, because that's essentially what you're banking on, that the Royals are going to be a playoff team and that he's going to be the guy that carries them there.
Yeah, a fun team, too. I mean, we saw the Orioles turn it around in, what, 2-3 years now? They'll be fighting for an American League East championship here. A very weak division, and dare I might say it could be a throwback here where we're actually talking about the Royals and the Tigers down the stretch, right? I mean, that would be that's kind of old school here, but that's the beauty of baseball, is that it can be done. It can be wild, yeah. I mean, it's been a little while, but hey, let's not forget Verlander started with Detroit, so anything is possible there. But both of those teams, I think, young, up and coming in a weak division, can absolutely make some hay here with some other teams. Houston, if they don't get this win tonight, would you have had 1-7? Because I certainly wouldn't have had them start out the year 1-7. Maybe Dusty knew a little something here, and he was like, you know what, it's time for me to move on here. I think this is. And this is the last year, because Bregman's going to be he's going to have to have a new contract at some particular point. I think maybe the Astros are on the way down. I know it's early, but I don't know. I think the writing's on the wall.
Well, no one's going to shed a tear if the Astros fall apart. Trust me, they are probably one of the more hated fan bases and hated teams in Major League Baseball, given the cheating scandal and everything else. But all that aside, you know, I still maintain that if the Astros continue to stumble and their odds to win the American League start to fall, and you're getting a 7 or 8 or even 9 to 1 type price for them, it's worth a flyer on them. It's a long baseball season, guys. And again, for a team like the Astros, they don't have to win the division. All they got to do is get in the playoffs, and you have to feel they're going to be a favorite against most of the teams they're going to play, barring somebody just looking like a complete juggernaut. They're going to be a favorite team when it comes to the postseason. So I'm kind of hopeful in that aspect, not tonight because I played on the Astros, but I'm kind of hopeful that they continue to stumble here a little bit and struggle. And if they do, you know, you start to look at some of those future markets where those prices will get a little bit, you know, exorbitant and see what you can react to and try to take advantage of.
Stop. You played them in the first five. You don't care if they lose.
Losing 5-1, right?
Call it the way it is. Yes, that's right. Call it the way it is. As long as they're winning after five, that's a different ball game there. Right. The Cubs also getting ready. First pitch just about to happen here against a very bad Rockies team. Zim, we mentioned it early. Is it me or are the bad teams extremely bad here this year? I don't see it getting much better for the Marlins. I don't see it getting better for the Royals. The A's, I mean, kudos. They almost won a game today. They almost won a game last night. But it just the haves and have-nots, the gap is – it feels pretty wide here this year.
Yeah, I mean, look, again, some of this is a little bit overreaction. It is the first week of the regular season. So, you know, while emotions ride high and, you know, hope springs eternal when opening day starts and everybody feels like they got a chance, you know, for teams that start out bad, you know, all it takes is one 3- or 4-game winning streak and everything seems to normalize and you start to feel good again. So I'm not going to get too excited about some of these teams, how good or bad their start is. But to your point, yeah, some of these teams that we thought were going to be bad feel like they're going to be epically bad to start here, with the Rockies being one of them. And, you know, it just goes to signal how much pitching matters, man. I mean, you know, you can't trot out Kyle Freeland and all these other, you know, guys in Gomber, these guys who are hanging on to major league contracts. It's like either bring up young arms to see if they can pitch and see if they can play, or find better pitchers, because that's the biggest problem, especially for a team like the Rockies and the ballpark they're playing, man. If you can't get guys that get outs, guess what? You're going to be on the wrong side a lot of games 81 times when you're in Coors Field.
Yeah, no, you certainly are, but I still think we're looking at 50 wins tops with some of these people, and that's disgusting on so many levels there. We did have a couple of rainouts here today, so how do you approach these getaway days and these getaway games? I mean, tomorrow the Mets and Tigers will play too. We got a lot of early baseball here, I believe early afternoon. Pirates and Nats, Guardians and Twins. The Marlins will be on the road. I guess they're happy about that, taking up the Cards. And those Royals will be taking on the White Sox here. How do you usually approach the Wednesday, Thursday of the season here when you got a lot of those early games, knowing dudes are getting ready, they're packed, they're at the ballpark, they're ready to get out of there?
Yeah, well, look, the Mets are a specific example tomorrow that I would play early, and I'd only play the first game, obviously. It's really hard to look ahead and play the second game of doubleheader unless you know the second starter is a bona fide, legitimate guy, right? Like, you know, I know he's on the IL, but if the Yankees are in a doubleheader and Garrett was slated to start the second game. But a lot of times what happens is managers flip that, right? Mm. They want to get the win in their pocket. They put the better starter in the first game. And then, you know, especially the one that can go deeper, because if they have to go to the bullpen in the second game, guess what? They have the availability to do it. So you really get those spots where you could play the second game of a doubleheader. That said, you know, with a lot of these teams in day games, I wait early on. I look specifically today. There were a couple of day games that sort of piqued my interest a little bit, but I stayed away from them. I want to see some sample size here in day games with pitchers and teams and how they're doing. You know, last year, I think it was the Braves started out. I think they had won like 9 of their first 10 day games, you know, and you started to see something develop. Yep. You got to get me into May before I really have to start looking at day games. But again, situationally, starting pitching for me is always going to trump the situation. As much as the situation says, hey, it's a getaway day, it's a sweep spot, you know, you play the team that you know, isn't on a getaway day, that's got a home game tomorrow or whatever, versus the team that's got to get on a plane and go. All that stuff to me is negotiable when it comes to the starting pitcher. So that's always going to be the first place I'm going to look.
Yeah. And again, it's Wednesdays, Thursdays and Sundays are brutal. I try to stay away from them as much as humanly possible, because Sundays, you don't know what you're getting. Guys are leaving. They're going, you know, it's either a long, you know, road trip. So you got to pick your spots in baseball, right? You got to remember, it's 162 games for every team. There is really no reason at this point to be trying to force plays here, because as the season grows on, those situational spots and motivation spots, it's, you know, sometimes you're better off just taking a step back. And Sunday nights have proven that year after year after year for people trying to chase during those Sunday night games.
Yeah, I mean, Sunday night is a little bit, as a standalone game, it's a little bit different. I think teams in general, when they get that Sunday night slot, they know about it well ahead of time. They know that they're going to be on TV. They know that, you know, eyeballs are going to be watching, and players always just try to step up, right? It's not a postseason game type of, but it's the same thing as Monday Night Football. Even if it's week three, it's Monday Night Football. You know, everybody's watching. So you get a little bit of a different brand of motivation from all the players there. So I think that's something that you
and
can.
And it's usually always an under, because they always schedule the number ones, and it's always you always get the best pitching matchup. So you've always got that. And then, of course, you know, there's always one team that plays to like 12 o'clock on the East Coast, then has a 2 o'clock game the next day. So the situational spots is where you want to look for those types of things.
The Monday spots teams that play Sunday Night Baseball are always favorable. Those are more bona fide. Again, even if it's a night game, it's still okay because it's the travel. They probably don't take BP that morning. They probably don't get out of bed. You know, their practice manager lets them sleep in. And so you get those spots where teams may be a little bit rusty. And if you get a team that they're playing that is a plus starter, then you have the double whammy. You're like, okay, now I feel good about this spot here. And you know me, I'll always take the first five there in those situations as well.
I agree. Situational spots here. Still a little early, but, you know, sure enough, after about the first month or so, you can start looking into these situations here during the baseball season. And you'll have some opportunities. Speaking of opportunity, it is how many points were the Pistons needing to score tonight? Was it
106? Oh, they got to go 5.5. So, I mean, look, I would tell you that
they got nine. They got nine. I'm just saying, they got nine.
Here's the thing, and I talked about this. You need 132-35 point quarter. And you should be good, right? Because then all you really need is about 23, 25, and the rest of them, you're good. You're golden, right? You don't have to do anything. If they get one 32-point quarter out of the four of them, they should clear this number. If they don't, guess what? You know, you're screwed. But, you know, this is a game here. And both of these teams play up pace. They're both top 10 in pace. So I expect that at some point the Hawks defense, knock on wood, will let them down, and the Pistons will be able to score and continue to put them up. What you got to avoid is that like 17, 18 point quarter. Then you're dead in the water. Like that's the one that really kills you. You get 24, 25, you can survive. Even 23, 22, you can survive. It's the under 20 quarter that'll kill you.
It's the 16-point fourth quarter where you're going, you got to be kidding me. You just dropped 38 in the third. Me nuts. All right, enough discussing this. You know, get out of here, man. Enjoy your night. We'll close it out next year on Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in here on this Wednesday as we get ready to close out this edition of Game Time Decisions. Don't go anywhere, though. We've got Scott Wetzel and company getting ready to take over for a little in-game live prime time here. And we are off and running in the NBA here tonight as the Lakers all of a sudden in a battle here with the Wizards right now at about 4 minutes to go before the half. 55-51, Lakers on top there. Blazers and Hornets in a 45-42 game. The Pistons with no Cade Cunningham, not in the game here tonight, a late scratch there. 23-19, Hawks leading them. The Pacers up are on the Nets, 17-13. And looky here, the Thunder and the Celtics knotted up at 19 apiece there with no SGA, no Jalen Williams. That line closed minus 11.5, minus 12 for the Celtics. They are knotted up at 19 apiece there. And, of course, in the NHL, the Rangers all over the Devils, 2-0. And Tampa and Toronto, the Maple Leafs, knotted up at 1 apiece after 1. And in baseball, 3-0 Royals on top of the Orioles right now. The Royals are definitely a bet on team, and the Nats are looking to put one in the L column for the Pirates. It's 4-2 right there in the top of the fifth inning. Mitch Keller, the ace, on the mound there for the Pirates. They got some work to do here in a 4-2 game. We got Blue Jays and Astros coming up, as well as Giants and Dodgers. That, too, will be coming your way. And, of course, the guys on In Game Live Primetime will have you covered from first pitch right through there. So some interesting games here tonight, including a little late-night basketball coming your way here when I like it. I think the Magic and Pelicans might be the game of the night, but quite honestly, I can't wait to see if the Suns can prove me wrong that they are trustworthy to lay 6 points against a healthy Cavs team. We're going to check it all out. We'll be back tomorrow with another edition of Game Time Decisions. Until then, cash those tickets. We'll see you soon.